Thank you, Jennifer and Lydia. We appreciate that. Choir, it was great. It sounded wonderful. If you have your Bibles this morning, please open them up to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. The title of the message is this all there is? Is this all there is? And that'll make sense to you once the sermon is over this morning. Romans chapter 7, the title of the message is this all there is? Romans has been referred to as the gospel according to Paul. And I heard Dr. Adrian Rogers one time say if he was on a deserted island and he could have only one book, he'd have the book of Romans. And this is his favorite book, it's a great book. And Romans chapter 7, the title of the message is this all there is? When you find Romans, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the book of Romans. Please stand in honor of God's word. I will be reading verses 14 through 25. And this is very timely piece of scripture for us this morning in Romans chapter 7. Starting there at verse 14. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. May you bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Now, while you got your Bibles open there, just glance back real quick at verse 7 of Romans chapter 7. And there in verse 7, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." And you may be sitting there thinking, "Brother Chad, you've said a lot of stuff this morning. And it doesn't sound like much." But folks, this is some powerful scripture for you this morning, and I want to tell you why. In verse 7 there on the screen, Paul figured out that God does not really judge us by our deeds. He judges us by our desires. He had a surface religion, and a surface religion means that although the deed may not ever have been done, the desire to do it certainly is. Amen? And our religion and Paul's religion, sometimes it doesn't go deep enough. Most people in the building this morning, you could stand up and say, "Brother Chad, I have never committed adultery, nor have I ever murdered anybody." That's all well and good. But God is not impressed with that. God looks at the heart and he asks the question. He says, "Have you ever wanted to do any of those things?" You see, and that's the difference this morning. We have no right to be content with our spiritual life until we not only have victory over our deeds, but we also have victory over our desires. In verses 1 through 13 of chapter 7, Paul tells us that he was a failure before he was saved in keeping the law of God. And then the last part of the chapter that I read, he has the feeling this. This is the feeling that he has. Is this all there is to the Christian life? Is this all there is? Just being in this turmoil all the time. And every born-again child of God has had that thought at one time or another. Let me explain it this way. The average believer, the average Christian, they're like a prisoner who's been pardoned. And the door has been opened and they are free to go. But they still sit in jail, still a prisoner, eating prison food and having prison fellowship and having a prison future. Folks, as Christians, we have been pardoned. We've been pardoned, and the cell door has been opened, but we sat in the cell for no reason whatsoever. We still sit in there. You see, that's what Paul states in verse 14. He said he was still a prisoner of sin. Now, while your Bible's open, look over there at verse 1 of chapter 8. In the King James, it'll say, therefore there is now no condemnation. Now, that condemnation, it's translated loosely, jail sentence. So there is no reason we have to sit in jail, folks, because we have been pardoned. We are saved, secure, and set free by the precious blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what's done it for us. Now Paul is talking about this. He's talking about the facts that he cannot enjoy the benefits of being a believer because of sin. Stuart Briscoe years ago, he said this. He said that many Christians are like an old iron bed frame. They know they're saved. They're firm on this end. He said they know they're going to heaven. They're firm on the other end. But they're sagging in the middle. Amen? That was, he said that many years ago. And I suggest that that is a very good representation of many people today. Hey, we know we've been pardoned. We know we've been forgiven. And we have no doubt we're going to heaven when we die. Amen?
Amen.
All right, we know that. But in our day-to-day lives, for all intended purposes, we might as well still be a prisoner of sin. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, one of the most disappointing days in the life of a believer is a few days or a few weeks after you're saved and you realize that the glow and excitement of salvation is gone and the peace that passes all understanding, the unspeakable joy, and all the promises in the Bible don't seem to be working in your life. Amen? Some of you know what I'm talking about. All of you probably know what I'm talking about. And you begin to lose a little faith in the preacher because what he's preaching about and what he's teaching about is simply not working. And you know you're saved and the sweet by and by doesn't really bother you much, but the nasty now is giving you all you can handle.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'll be glad when I leave this place and get on to heaven so I don't have to deal with this anymore. You see, that's where the normal average believer this morning finds themselves still living as a slave to sin. And if you are honest, when you're by yourself, you ask yourself this question. Is this all there is for me? Is this it? Is this all? Is it? And many here this morning, if we could stand up and say, there is no victory in my life. And I'm still living in that jail cell. I have no joy. And I'm humiliated by the sin in my life before I was saved and the weaknesses I still have in my life concerning certain things. Amen? Did you get it? All right, good deal. We say, I have habits and I have desires that are just as strong as ever. What do I need to do? You see, us human beings, we have these built-in guilt complexes and we need not only to know what to do, but we need to know how to do it. Amen? Got to know how to do it as well. So how do I control my tongue? How do I control my attitude? How do I control my thought life? I don't know what I need, but I know there's more to it than this. Amen? I've had that thought. I see several of you shaking your head this morning. You've had that thought too. How do I do it? So we have the will, but we don't have the power to do what's right. So I want to give you just three things here this morning quickly on how to get over that thought. And in your sermon insert, the first one is this. We have to focus on getting past our failure. Getting past our failure. Listen, after we're saved, amen, failure is the first hurdle we come to. We simply can't do it. And between us, what the law demands and what the flesh can produce, there's a great gulf fixed. And we're like, what in the world is going on? But Paul had figured out, as a lost man, that he couldn't uphold the law. And now, as a believer, as a saved man, he said, it's impossible to live this Christian life.
Amen.
That's what all that, I can do this, and I can't do that, and the flesh this, and sin this. That's what all that's talking about that I was reading to you. That's a very difficult piece of scripture to read because he uses a personal pronoun, I, every other word. But that's what he's talking about. He said, listen, but before I came to Christ, I couldn't uphold the law. He said, and now that I know Jesus, he said, I can't do that either. Is this all there is to it? That's what Paul's talking about here. A lot of people have that. And until we figure that out, folks, failure's always going to be right there in front of your face laughing at you.
Right.
Getting past our failure. You see, God's standards do not change, but our standing before Him changes from a lost person going to hell to a saved person going to heaven. Now, the irony is this. As a saved person, we want to do good. Amen? By and large, we want to do good. We want to do the right thing, but we fail, don't we? And now those guilt feelings come into play. It's going to get better, trust me. It's going to get better. And those guilt feelings come into play. Listen, a lost person does not care about sin, but a Christian should care about sin very much so.
Amen.
Amen. And so we have a desire to do good, but it seems impossible. It's impossible. I heard an old preacher say one time, he said, God didn't fix me up where I could not sin. He just fixed me to where I could not enjoy. Amen. You see, salvation changes us. We have a desire to please God and overcome sin, but we still can't do it, can we? What in the world is going on? What is going on? Why is this happening? Failure, failure, failure. Why is this happening? Why can't we always feel like we did when we first got saved? Amen? Oh, that was great. Why can't we always feel like that? God gives us a big push when we get saved, but after a while, all the drive and enthusiasm begins to slip away, and we slow down a little bit until we finally stop. It reminds me of being in a swing, and somebody gives you a little nudge, and you go back and forth, but what happens when you're on the swing set, and you don't know how to swing? Pretty soon, you get slower, 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 you stop. And that's what happens to many believers. You know why? Because failure comes into our lives and knocks us back in our walk with Jesus. And we don't know what to do. You see, those old sins that you thought were all gone, what do? They come creeping right back in, don't they? They keep coming back into your life. And victory, listen to me, folks. Everybody say victory.
Victory.
That's not very good. Everybody say victory.
Victory.
Victory should be the goal of every Christian. When we have victory, you know what victory gets us? We get to experience the presence of God in our life. Amen. And we also get to experience the power of God in our life.
Amen.
That's what victory gets you. That's something we're fighting for. The power and the presence of God in your life. Now here's the key to that. Having victory over sin is having victory over self. I got one amen and a couple of head shakes. Not bad. Victory over sin means victory over self. Oh, man. But we die hard, don't we? That old flesh is a tough opponent, folks. It's tough. Somebody, I read this last night. I put it in the service. Somebody once said that it's easier to get a sinner out of Egypt than it is to get a Christian into Canaan. If you don't get that, you get it on the way to the car. Amen. It's easier to get a sinner out of Egypt than it is to get a Christian into Canaan.
Amen.
That's where God wants us on this earth, folks. He wants us in Canaan. Amen. That's not heaven. Don't get your theology out of a hymn book. Alright, crossing the Jordan River is victory over self. It's not death. It's victory over self. Crossing into the promised land God has for you with that victory I'm talking about. That's what it is. And see, that's what we want. That's what you want. You see, there is no following Jesus until you take up that cross and say no to yourself. That's why all these people act like a bunch of fools in our country. They're not getting their way, and they don't like it. And so we'll just act like a bunch of idiots. That's what they're doing. They're doing a good job of it, ain't they? But that's why they're upset. They ain't getting what they want. You know? All they care about is themselves. They don't care about anybody else. Victory over sin involves victory over self. Folks, that's what needs to happen to get past your failures. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Not only getting past or getting over our failures, getting over our frustration. Paul knows what to do. Amen? And he knows how to do it. But he doesn't have the power. Look at verse 15 there in Romans chapter 7. This is expository preaching. Expository preaching is a lot of fun for the preacher, not much fun for the congregation. Amen? Verse 15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." That's just a King James way of saying, what I want to do, I can. But what I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing all the time.
That's right.
Doesn't make any sense, does it? Getting over our frustration. Listen, has the devil, everybody listen, has the devil ever put this thought in your head? Listen to me. If you were really saved, you would never think or say or do that. Mm-hmm. Devil put that thought in your head? Shake your head like this, because he has. Yep. Okay. Another question. How many of you have promised, Lord, and really mean it? Lord, I promise I'll never do that again. I got one honest deacon and Ricky amen to me, and I got my hand up. Oh, Kim's there. Lord, I'll never do that again. What happens? Ain't that funny? Not in a ha-ha way, but an interesting way. Why does that happen? That's very frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Frustrating. God, I know I'm not supposed to do that. I know I'm not supposed to do that, but it's out of come. How's that happen? It's frustrating. Oh, it gets on your nerves, and you get by yourself, and you beat yourself up. You see, folks, sin is a funny thing. You can love it and hate it at the same time. It's like you desire two qualities of life. And the more you try to live for Jesus, the more frustrating it's going to become.
That's right.
Because the closer you get to Him, the more you realize this stuff down here, ooh, you need to get as far away from it as you can. And you can't get away from it. It follows you. That's why it's so frustrating. It's like being in the military during wartime and all you've been doing is peeling potatoes in the kitchen. And somebody comes and hands you a rifle and sends you to the front line. You get out there, nobody was shooting at me when I was in the kitchen. I'd rather go peel potatoes. But when you get out there on the front line, folks, the bullets are going to start flying.
Amen.
And when you get out in the front for Jesus, just get ready. Because the bullets are going to start flying.
Amen.
And you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to say, well, I'd just rather go back and peel potatoes. Jesus don't want any potato peelers. Amen. He wants soldiers on the front lines. That's what he wants. Amen. But that's frustrating. You see, Paul was frustrated and he was confused. And there are people all over this land that are confused this morning. You see, the law of sin really explains why we do what we do. It's the very root of all behavioral problems. It's sin. And we're set up for failure from the very start, aren't we? You see, Satan has grafted a little bit of his personality into every human being. And we all were born with this sinful nature that we all have. During the Roman Empire, when a person was found guilty of murder, they would take them and they would bind them face to face with the corpse. And as that corpse deteriorated, it would pass over to that criminal. That's what Satan has done. He's grafted a little bit of himself into us because of the fallen man. We've all got it. I don't care how good you are, you've got it. You've got it. There's only been one person that's never had it, and that's Jesus. But the rest of us, we all have it. We all have it. And so the only thing God can do with the flesh is put it to death. Put it to death. And you see, the frustration, the frustration of dealing with sin, folks, is enough to make you want to give up. Ain't it? Just give up. I can't live the Christian life, so I don't need to go to church. Amen. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to give my time. I don't need to give any money. I don't need to do anything in church because I can't live this. I'm just going to give up and go home. And that's what Satan wants you to do. That's getting over our frustration. And the third thing is this. Not only getting over our failures and getting over our frustrations, but also getting under our Lord. Amen? Getting under our Lord. And we keep on experiencing this failure and the frustration because we've not learned that you cannot live a perfect life. And so when you learn that, you get frustrated, you just quit. Ron Dunn said this, I love this quote. He said, we make peace with failure in order to get along with defeat. You get that? We make peace with failure in order to get along with defeat. So you just accept it. And then I don't have to worry about it. I'll just make peace with failure. And then that's where a lot of Christians are in this day. You've just settled on defeat. I'm never going to do any better. Never going to be able to live the Christian life. Never going to be able to witness to nobody. Never ever going to be able to make a difference for Jesus. I've made peace with failure in order to get along with defeat. Amen? That's what that attitude is. You see? And all that is opposite of what God would have for us. It's exactly opposite. Look at verse 22 and 23 there in Romans chapter 7. Paul says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. You see, Paul noticed that there was a war going on and that sin would always win. He knew the flesh would win. Now you see, that's important because the first step in breaking that cycle is to know and understand that there's more to the Christian life. Amen? I see a lot of good Bible students here at the congregation this morning here in the sanctuary. Do you read anywhere in the Bible where God wants us confused, conflicted, upset, angry, or frustrated with Him? I see nary a word in the whole canon of Scripture.
That's right.
So God would not have us to be like that. So what exactly is success in the Christian life? There's more to it than you think, I promise you. We should be experiencing daily victory over sin and the flesh. Every day. All you need is a hunger and a thirst that there's more to it. That's all you need. Don't make peace with failure and settle on defeat. I hate to lose at anything. I have three children, and all the time we're playing games and stuff, my mom said, won't you let them win, Chad? Max, can I let you win at anything? No, you have to beat me, didn't you? Don't let anybody win anything. I like to win. I don't care what I'm living either. Doesn't matter. But you see, when it comes to the things of God, we quit. And we just accept defeat. Folks, I remember years ago, Dr. Butler was in the old sanctuary, preached a revival for us one time. And I don't remember how many people got saved before Sunday school started that morning. You remember that Chris shaking his head? I remember that. And oh, we had a wonderful, wonderful spirit of revival. I remember Brother Pickup preached a revival over there one time. There was people, standing down the side of the building, back in the room back there, in the choir room, people sitting in there. Do you know? Everybody like to have a good revival, that spirit that you had. Everybody like that? I love that. You know what? You can have that all the time. You can have it all the time. How? You see, you really can. Here's how. You absolutely have to make Jesus Lord of your life.
Amen.
That's how you do it. 100% Jesus as Lord. Not to say Savior. I said Lord. That's why he's addressed as Jesus is my Savior and Lord.
Right.
First of all, he's your Savior. Then he's your Lord. That's what you have to have. He may be your Savior. Amen. And this morning, if you've been saved, washed in the blood of Jesus on your way to heaven, amen, I'm the happiest guy in the building for you, folks. But until he is your Lord, sin will always defeat you and the flesh will always win. That's what's going to happen. That's what you have to look forward to. Listen, when you wake up, let me give you little things to test yourself. When you wake up in the morning and your mood determines what kind of day you're going to have, Jesus is not Lord of your life. Self is. Now, when you get desperate enough, the Lord answers our prayers, but bad attitudes and bad moods, they have to be kicked out, not prayed out. Amen? Lord, help me, I got a bad mood. No. You need to get rid of that bad mood yourself. Get rid of your bad attitude yourself. You see, things will change for you when Jesus is your Lord. You'll have a love for people that you never had before. And you may tolerate them now, but loving them is a different story. And when we get our eyes off Jesus, listen to me, church, I'm almost done. When we get our eyes off Jesus, we begin to see all the imperfections in everybody else. And we begin to nitpick things. Oh, and you're getting in the danger zone when that happens. Well, why does sister so-and-so say that? Why did brother so-and-so do that? You see, if everywhere you go there's tension in the room, Jesus is not Lord of your life. And you're taking your eyes off the main thing. A lot of churches this morning, a lot of people falling into the trap of Jesus not being the main thing. Folks, nothing wrong with extracurricular activities whatsoever. But when Jesus is Lord of your life, you're going to have joy and you're going to have victory over all those things that's beat you down for many years. It'll happen for you. But Jesus has to be Lord of your life. Listen, I'm not perfect. I don't have it figured out. I don't have everything figured out, but I know the path to get there. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Do you have all three of those this morning? Do you even have one? You have any of those this morning? Listen, you don't get that fruit of salvation. Amen? That comes from the outworking. It comes by living for Jesus every day and having victory over the flesh. When Jesus is Lord, you become filled with the Spirit, and then you are able to produce fruit for God. Amen?
Amen.
It's called a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of the self. So if it's a fruit of the Spirit, it comes from the Holy Spirit. It don't come from you.
Right.
Amen? Now, I'm almost finished. Until Jesus is Lord of your life, you're going to fail. You're going to be frustrated. And you're going to have an attitude to give up concerning spiritual things. We get saved by Jesus, and then we get victory in our lives in Jesus. Look over at chapter 8, verse 4 is the last thing we'll ask you to look at. Romans chapter 8, verse 4, look what it says. Very, very important piece of scripture to tie this together. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there is a little key word in that verse. It says the law might be fulfilled in us. It doesn't say by us. It says in us. There's a big difference there. You see, the only good thing in us is the Spirit of God. And that's what's fulfilling that. You see, the Christian life begins with Jesus, and it's lived in victory only in Jesus as Lord of your life. Listen, thousands of believers this morning are bogged down by junk in their lives, and they have convinced themselves that living for Jesus is a waste of time. Amen? Man, it's quiet in here. It's awful quiet, folks. You see, they have their ticket to heaven and they've just given up. Ladies and gentlemen, I beg you this morning, too many people are dying and going to hell without ever hearing the plan of salvation for you to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Amen. Oh man, all you got to do is just go to the store. Leave church today, go up there to IGA, park your car, get out of your car, walk into the grocery there. Walk around for 5 minutes. And you'll see enough people that need to know Jesus that you'll spend a lifetime praying for. Too many people, folks. So to sum things up, I'm going to tell you something. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you say, well, I come to church, I'm a church member, I've been baptized, I don't care about that. I ain't talking about that. Have you been saved? Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, if you stop breathing right now, you'd go to heaven. First thing you need to take care of. If you're a believer here this morning, a Christian, a follower of Christ, whatever we'll call yourself, If some of the things I've said this morning have struck a chord with you and kind of know what I'm talking about, I've tried to help you the best I can to deal with your failures and frustrations, try to tell you how to do it. Some of you here like that. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been saved, never baptized. Maybe you're here this morning looking for a church home, we'd love to have you here clear for you. Maybe here this morning you've got some sin in your life. Amen. You know you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You know that. You need to get that taken care of this morning. You need to pray about that. You need to get it right with God and go on. Because if you don't, you will not have His power in your life and you will not have His presence in your life. And maybe here this morning, you was about this close. I preached this sermon for somebody. I didn't come up with it out of my back pocket. Maybe you're here this morning, you're about that close from just giving up. And you've almost made your mind up, you know what, I'm done with the church. I'm done with Clear Fork, I'm done with First Baptist, wherever you go to church, people listening on the internet that's going to hear this, wherever. You're about this close from giving up. Don't give up. Don't make peace with failure in order to get along with defeat. Don't do that. Don't do it. Alright? I'm going to pray. Musicians are going to come at this time. We're going to prepare for Him of invitation. Amen. Father, we thank You so much for Your word this morning. Lord, we thank You for this piece of scripture there in the book of Romans where Paul was battling. He was battling between the flesh and what he should do and what he shouldn't do. Lord, I just pray for those here this morning. Lord, this Christian life is not easy. It's very, very difficult. And Father, everybody under the sound of my voice, we have failed. We have become frustrated. Didn't know what to do. Thought about giving up. Maybe some have given up and they're just coming to church and putting a smile on their face. Lord, none of that's right. It goes against everything that Your Word teaches us. Father, I'm one preacher who does not think that Jesus came just to live a good life. I don't think His death was in vain. I think He died for us, not only to save us, but allow us to live a victorious life for Him. And Father, this morning, I just pray for those that have lost loved ones. Father, I pray for those that have a need in their life, sick family members, sick friends. Father, we lift them up to You. Lord, this morning, if there's anybody lost that needs to be saved, Father, that's been playing church, I pray this morning be the day of their salvation. Father, I pray for all those that just are desperately crying out, living lives of quiet desperation. Father, I pray for them. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Watch over us and please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please stand.